I'm so glad the children are with us today. Last week, if you were here and you remember, I had talked about how precious the children were to Jesus and how important they are to us spiritually. If you would go to that first slide in my message, I'd appreciate it. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 15, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." There's something about being a child that we should learn from. We should observe in them. We should be slowed down enough that we can see how little children respond spiritually and learn from them. I want to speak to you today about being ready. About being ready for what's next. And I don't know what's next. 2020 has been such an amazing year. Sometimes we wonder, what is God saying to us in 2020? Being ready, being watchful. What is it God wants us to be about during these days? I know a lot of people have spent quite a bit of time thinking about that. I certainly have. I preached for 3 or 4 Sundays in the middle of the summer about kind of asking that question, what's God want for me during this time? Well, I'm also looking at this again and thinking about it and saying, what does God want from the church? Here we are at November the 1st, 2020. 10 months gone. No more surprises, I'm sure. What's God want for the church? In light of that, I've been thinking about being ready for that. Being watchful. What is God using in these extraordinary events to speak to us about? What is God going to use from what's happening in 2020 to do His work and enlarge His kingdom in this world? And what is our part? Would you turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 34? I want to read verse 34 through 40 this morning. Luke chapter 12. I think the first verse in the reading is very key. In fact, I could probably just read that first verse and we could think about it for a while and that might be enough. But we're going to start with verse 34. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then moving on, verse 35, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those whose servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve and will have them reclined at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." God wants us to be watching and waiting for his kingdom. God wants us to be looking toward what He is going to do. Could I get you to advance to that next one, please? Thank you. God wants us to be watching and waiting for His kingdom to come. We are to live the Christian life looking forward. Looking forward to what God is doing and seeing and thinking and wanting for us. Always God wants us to be leaning toward His timetable, leaning toward His perspective, leaning toward the things that are important to Him, leaning toward the opportunities that He allows in our lives to be His servants, to be His hands and His feet, His feet. We are to live our lives watching and waiting. There's an element of our faith that is constantly to be leaning toward God. What are you saying to me now? When we stop hearing God's voice and we stop leaning toward His Spirit, then we get dry, we get crusty, we lose perspective, and we lose influence. But God calls us to have a hunger toward the future, a hunger toward what God wants to do right now in our lives and the lives of people around us. I certainly, when I read this scripture and many others, I think about the second coming of Christ. I think that there is a day coming when Christ is going to return. I don't know when. I know that it could be today. It could be certainly in 2020. That shouldn't surprise us if that happened. It could be next year. It could be in 1,000 years. But God calls us to be looking forward to that day, and something inside of us holding on to the truth that Jesus is coming back. I actually would like to plan in January, Lord willing, to preach, to begin a series on the second coming of Jesus. And I just want to say a couple things today about that. Number one is God calls us to look forward to that event and have that in our minds and our hearts to a certain degree and with a certain purpose. The element of Christ's return is an important part of the Christian faith. If it's taken out of perspective, or taken on a tangent somewhere, it actually can be very damaging for our hearts spiritually. But if we hold the second coming of Jesus in the right place in our hearts, it will be a great motivation for us to lean toward the kingdom of God and what He wants for us. God has a will, and God has a plan, and God has a timetable. And our history is moving toward that and in that. There was a day long ago when people thought, is God ever going to speak again? I'm sure after Adam and Eve sinned and they were cast out of the garden, they wondered, has God forgotten about us? And all through human history, all through biblical history, are times of waiting for God to say something or do something or call His people to something. But we're in one of that stages right now. I mean, there was a time God responded to the sin of Adam and Eve. You're cast out of the garden in judgment. And Cain killed his brother Abel. And there was punishment then. Then God allowed man's heart and the sin that had come into the world to work havoc and wreak havoc. And there was a time when it was very ugly and nasty in the world. God became so hurt by sin that He spoke to a man named Noah. For 100 years, Noah worked on building a boat. I'm sure there's times when Noah wondered, is God ever going to move again? And certainly there were people in Noah's days who had heard about the big boat and made fun of Noah and didn't believe that anything could happen. But a day came. I don't know the date that it came, but it came. And the heavens opened up and the floods came and there was judgment. God has a timetable. God had a timetable for Israel coming into the promised land. He had a timetable when He called Moses to bring them. He had a timetable when David was born. He had a timetable when the Isaiah the prophet spoke about the coming of the Messiah. God had a timetable and a plan, and though people might have thought, oh, it's never going to happen, it came, and Jesus was born. And Jesus lived His life. And there came a day, an ugly day, on God's calendar when Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. And God brought judgment. We now live in a day where God has been very patient. And He says that, I am not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But there's going to come a day when that time's going to end. It could be in 2020. It could be next year. It could be 10 years. It could be 1,000 years. But God calls us to be ready and watching for the end of time. God has a plan. Our job is to lean into His kingdom, to lean into His priorities, to say, God, what do you want me to do and be during these days? 2020. Whether you're coming back within months or years, or you're coming back 1,000 years from now, what today, God, do you want me to be doing? One of them I think about is this scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. God calls us to certain priorities as we're leaning toward the kingdom, always remembering what God is saying to us. God wants us to live watching and waiting and storing up treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 says this, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord shall come. About the second coming of Jesus, no person knows except the Father in heaven. And the more people try to say it's going to be then, it's going to be now, it's going to be then, just affirms to me how far we can be away from understanding the heart of God. No man knows. We're to live ready and watching and waiting and leaning toward God. In fact, this scripture makes me think that Jesus is saying that the day will not be when we expect it. We might think we see all the signs in the sky and in Israel and in the military and in politics, and that may well be. But listen to what Jesus says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord shall come. But we're to live ready. We're to live watching. Watching and waiting. Five things about watching and waiting. Number one is we are absolutely to live ready. Live ready. Keep your lamps burning. Pay attention to your light. Pay attention to Jesus in your life. You don't keep your lamp trimmed and burning, it will go out. It will lose its mission and its purpose in your life. So Jesus says in this parable, in these words, to be ready. Be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamp burning. Pay attention to your priorities. Give ear to what God says you about what you're doing and why and your motivation. Every once in a while, it's probably just good to sit down and say, God, look at my calendar. Is this what you want for me? Is this the priorities you want for me? Pay attention to the distractions. There's so many good things out there that can distract us. I certainly struggle with this many times. There are good things out there that can distract us from living ready. If there's sin in your life, you know you have violated what God has put in your heart. Stop today and confess your sin and ask Jesus to forgive you. When you have unconfessed sin in your life, it's like just blowing out your candle. When you say, yeah, I know that's wrong, but you ignore it, you're inviting your light to go out. That can happen to good people. That can happen to people that have come to personal faith in Christ, but they don't keep their candle lit. You ignore God's Holy Spirit in your life and your heart about right and wrong. Don't expect your candle to keep lit. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. keeping your candle lit, a confession spirit to God, a tender, humble spirit to God about your life, about your choices, about your words, about your motives. Praying, God, please give me, help me to have a humble spirit in life, a teachable spirit. The idea of the light is it takes some work, not a lot. You certainly have to refill the oil. The olive oil, I understand, that was used mostly. You have to put the oil in, and there's a little place for the wick. You have to put in a certain depth. And if you let the oil run out, the light goes out. Trim your wicks. Number two, the master will return. He's coming back. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. You know what? This passage is heavy in parts, but it's also beautiful. What it says is that Jesus is going to come back, and when he comes, he's coming to serve us. He's coming to serve us. The Master has a plan for eternity, a plan for time, a plan for human history, a plan for your life. You have so many days. Some will end earlier than anyone expects. Some will live long. Some will be gradual. Some will be sudden. But God has a plan, a master plan for your life. And so if you know that, best thing you can do is be in touch with him. Talk to him. God, what do you want in my life? God is not willing that any should perish. I wonder, well, why, God, have you waited 2,000 years since Jesus ascended into heaven, the cross and the resurrection of Jesus and the power? We live in the day of opportunity. We live in the day of opportunity and the patience of God. I've said before, we live in the patience of God right now. If you and I were God now and we saw things going on today, what would we do? I can imagine. I know kind of my feelings sometimes. I would say enough is enough. Sometimes I feel that about certain people. Things going on around the world. The only reason that Jesus hasn't returned is because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That should tell us about the heart of God. Today is the day of opportunity. We live in the day of opportunity. Let's not squander it. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day of salvation. Are you ready? You also must be ready because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect Him. Not when you expect Him. Life doesn't turn out that way. Rarely does it turn out that way. Jesus is coming again. Life can change suddenly. We know that. Death may come expectedly or unexpectedly. But there's some other things too that happen if we're not keeping our lights trimmed. One of them is we become cold. We don't hear God's voice anymore. We're more bored about spiritual things than hungry. Are you ready? Circumstances change. Opportunities change. Sometimes there's more opportunities to hear the voice of God, and sometimes it seems like there's not as many. You can blame other people for that. You can blame your spouse. You can blame the preacher for sure. You can blame your finances. You can blame a lot of things. So the question is, be ready. Make sure that your lamp is trimmed and filled with oil. We must be ready. Part of that ready is serving. God wants us to be serving Him and others. God wants our lives to be used to help the kingdom and the ministry and to others. There is an enemy that wants to shut that down. Satan would want you to be about yourself, but Jesus is telling us to be about the kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "Be of sober mind, for your enemy or adversary is prowling around like a lion, looking for someone to devour." Kind of think, well, what's the opposite of our text today? I don't know if that's the right word, but here might be an idea. Be alert and of sober mind. When you're not, you're vulnerable. But Jesus tells us to have our lamps burning. Are you ready? Is there anybody here today? I'm not looking for you to tell me. Is there anybody here today that's not ready? Oh God, I pray that we would get ready, that we would give absolute priority to the things that are important spiritually, that we would not allow distraction and other things to keep us from being ready before You. God, help us to pay attention to our priorities. God, if we've never asked You to forgive us for our sins, that today we would say, today's the day. Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. Help me to live ready. Help me to see clearly. Help me to have the heart and attention and teachableness that You desire me to have, I pray. I pray in these next couple of minutes that whatever You say to us about being ready, we would hear, we would listen to, and we would respond, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask, as Shauna plays a couple of minutes, just quiet prayer. You and God, whatever you need to say to God and you want to hear today, would you just take 2 minutes and then we'll receive communion. If you've not received a cup and you want to, I know there's plenty up here in the front. You're welcome to come and get that. And after a couple of minutes, we'll partake together. To invite you, if you're here this morning and you want to take off that top little pouch there with the piece of bread in it, and those that are home today or listening to the service, if you would like to prepare yourself and receive the bread today, we'll do that in just a moment. On the night that Jesus died, He took the bread, and after He broke it, He gave it to His disciples and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which was broken for you. Now take the bread and eat it in faith." Thank You, Jesus, for Your broken body. Thank You for Your blood. Thank you that we can share together today. Thank you for your grace, your strength, and your direction. In Jesus' name. And on the night that Jesus died, he took the cup, and after he gave thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink, for this is the blood of the new covenant." Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for life. Help us to be ready in all we do, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.